This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
There's a market indicator on volatility in the news in recent turbulent days that's a bit like a chainsaw, a useful tool, or in the wrong hands, an instrument of mayhem. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Before we get to some people who really got clobbered by the sudden swings on financial markets in the last week, note that markets are relatively calm this morning. After the Dow closed up 2.3% yesterday, 22 minutes into the trading day, it's mixed. The Dow up 75 points, 0.3%. The S&P 500 up just slightly a point. The Nasdaq Composite down 0.2%. Now, to who is to blame when the financial calm turned to a storm? There is an important index of volatility calculated in Chicago called the VIX, and some are breathing fire on the VIX people at what used to be called the Chicago Board Options Exchange. A CBOE official told the Financial Times today they're not the problem here. Let's understand this further by turning to George Perks, macro strategist at Bespoke Investment Group. I asked him if he thinks that flack is justified.
I don't think it's justified to blame the CBOE's VIX index, which has been around since the early 1990s in various forms and is widely tracked across the financial universe. I mean, the VIX index is just a calculation of options prices, so it's hard to get mad at that specific index itself. Now, getting a little bit frustrated with people that developed investment strategies based on this index and based on futures related to that index is maybe a little bit more reasonable. I still would have somewhat of a disagreement with that, but I can understand it a little bit better.
Because there are products built on the VIX index the way there are financial products built on the S&P 500 or really any other index that trade on this. And some of those strategies went horrendously wrong in the last 4 days.
Exactly. You cannot go out and buy the VIX index. That does not exist. What you can do is buy futures that are related to the VIX index. These futures were also available for purchase via what are called exchange-traded notes. They're similar to exchange-traded funds, but they're a debt instrument. Individual investors and a large number of institutional investors were involved in these notes, which in some cases reached asset values of as high as $3.5 billion. The VIX spiked. The futures prices spiked, and the products that were short these futures lost a ton of value. And as a result, some investors are feeling a lot of pain if they didn't manage the risk associated with these products correctly.
The broad theme until 5 days ago was not much volatility in financial markets. Trees grows to the sky. The stock market is going to continue going up. The broad lesson is suddenly things can change.
And it's a good reminder to people that they can only take so much risk. One of the classic things we've seen over the past few years is that every once in a while, risk will pop up somewhere, whether it's China's currency, whether it's oil markets, whether it's high yield. And the markets are reminded that they can only sort of get so far so fast. And ultimately, that's been a healthy thing. As we've seen repeatedly, these short, sharp reminders haven't led to a larger, more painful crisis, as they might have in a different era where risk wasn't so carefully managed by Wall Street and by regulators as well.
George Perks, macro strategist at Bespoke Investment Group. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
10-year bonds are down with that Treasury's yield up at 2.78%. The private sector can launch an extraordinarily powerful rocket into space and bring it back at least some pieces of it safely for reuse. Entrepreneur Elon Musk had the success he was looking for yesterday when his SpaceX company launched the most powerful rocket since the Apollo program. As you probably heard, since part of this involves perhaps the most effective product placement strategy of all time, the payload was one of Musk's Tesla sports cars with a mannequin in the front seat, now on a trajectory deep into the solar system. Watching the business of space shift before our eyes is Jonathan Amos, science correspondent for the BBC. Hi, Jonathan.
Good morning to you, David.
So except for one of three Falcon booster sections crashing out to sea away from the video feed, this giant rocket worked, spectacularly worked.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually, because Elon Musk, before the launch, had tried to play down expectations. He'd said if it just cleared the pad and didn't blow up, he'd be happy with that. He'd see it as a success. But in the end, yeah, it worked really well. It sort of pulled up into the sky and off it went over the Atlantic. Yeah, I think Elon Musk would be very pleased with himself.
So we will all now go to bed, not just by the light of the moon, but by the distant glint of a Tesla Roadster. But does this fundamentally alter the economics of space, do you think?
Well, Elon Musk is certainly doing that. He's not the only one, of course. So, I mean, this rocket is what? It's got two and a bit times more lifting capacity than the next biggest rocket, the Delta IV Heavy. But at substantially reduced cost, a third of the price, Elon Musk is saying. And that does make a difference.
And again, he does have competition here. I mean, it's not just Elon Musk entrepreneur. There's also Jeff Bezos entrepreneur also making his rockets. And we have NASA and others.
Yeah, I'm particularly interested to see what Bezos is going to do. He has this rocket called New Glenn coming, which is a big booster, a bit like the Falcon Heavy. And it'll be able to lift somewhere in the region, I think, of 40 to 50 tons in low Earth orbit. So a little bit less than the Falcon Heavy, although he has teased this other vehicle as well, which he's thinking about called New Armstrong, which would be even bigger. So this is going to be an interesting arena to watch. And of course, we have this monster rocket, as they call it, the Space Launch System that's been developed through NASA, but tremendously expensive. What's going to happen to it now? $1 billion a launch, they're talking. And it's going to be interesting to see how Congress justifies that when they can pay Elon Musk, you know, $100 million, $90 million to do pretty much the same on the Falcon Heavy.
There was supposed to be another burn of the rocket engine to put this payload on a trajectory toward Mars. Have we heard anything about that burn? Did that happen overnight?
Well, according to Elon Musk, it was successful. It occurred somewhere over the western United States. It seems to have actually sent the car a little bit further out on a much wider trajectory. So I guess that just underlines the performance of the Falcon Heavy.
Or you might say it was a little off course. Jonathan Amos, science correspondent for our editorial partner, the BBC. Thank you. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.